Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. HOPE will persevere.
From Labradoodles to Cronuts, the world loves a hybrid. So today, businesses are taking a smarter hybrid cloud approach using the tools, platform, and expertise of IBM. The world is going hybrid with IBM. Visit ibm.com/hybridcloud.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two of Fantasy Sports Today. We are back. The Redskins and Giants combined for 76 fantasy points, and a couple of teams in the NFL can't even score two touchdowns. Fantasy Sports Today starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Toward the end zone.
The middle, pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch.
Pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable. Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, along with Joe Pisapia, with you here on the show on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hope you guys are having a great holiday season. Thanks for listening to us all fantasy football season long as we get ready to close the book on the 2019 fantasy football season. We move into 2020 pretty soon with some more baseball talk, some college basketball talk, everything that's going on in sports, not just this. And of course, they have the NFL playoffs coming up. Two teams that will not be playing in the NFL playoffs, Joe. We start back off the Falcons and Jaguars. Jaguars looked exactly like they did last week, except for they just didn't come back and win, although they did kind of battle there at the end. Matt Ryan, 364, one touchdown, two picks. Devonta Freeman broke my heart, 53-yard touchdown. Maybe I shouldn't have ripped him all year. He finally showed up. Nine catches, 74 yards and a touchdown. Good job. You're done after the year.
Yeah, Julio Jones. It's been a good all-purpose year for him. He's done. It wasn't a rushing year, but it was a good catching year.
Cut after the year. Julio Jones, monster, 10 catches, 166 yards. He came through for sure. Gardner Minshew, 181 and a touchdown. He's not going to win Rookie of the Year, but boy, he just keeps fighting with this team every week. Fournette, 71 rushing yards, and Conley, who nobody played in anything except for maybe DFS, two catches for 56 yards. This game was a dud from the beginning. Joe, the Falcons just went up pretty big on Jacksonville, which is exactly what the Raiders did last week, too. And then, by the way, the Jaguars did come back. They did, at the end of the game, have the ball, I believe, on the two-yard line of Atlanta with a chance to cover the spread. And in this game, they fell short. So that's not a really big surprise. Maybe a big surprise. I know that you're not a huge Doug Marrone fan. The Jaguars over the weekend announced that, or at least speculation is that they're going to bring back the general manager and the coach, Doug Marrone, here.
So you get rid of Tom Coughlin, but you keep everybody else that he hired?
Well, maybe they thought he was the issue. I don't know.
You know what? I think this is just the classic. Oh, everyone's fine. Everyone's fine. And then whack, it comes down.
Very well. That's what it feels like.
Yeah,
it could be. They say they want to win their last. Chad Conley, the owner, said they want to win their last two games. This was not an indictment of that. For the Falcons, it does create an interesting situation because, Joe, they did play a lot better in the second half of the season than they did the first. And their weapons that they've had over the last few years came through in this game like they've come through the last few years. But the problem is it was just so inconsistent all year long. The only one that you could just start with a bullet was Julio Jones. And that was basically it. All the other guys were kind of hit or miss. But I think Atlanta's not in a terrible spot either. They probably have to fix their defense. But offensively, with Ryan and Jones and Ridley and Gage played well down the stretch, and maybe they'll bring Freeman back potentially with some competition there. I think it's not a bad spot to go to if I'm a coach in the NFL.
No, it's a spot that you could turn around very quickly. I do agree with that. I think a little bit of help at linebacker would go a long way with this team. Somebody who's physical, tackling, sideline to sideline kind of a guy. That's what they should be looking for in the draft, without a doubt. You have still a good receiving core with Ridley there. We know Julio's all world. We'll see what happens with the running back position, too. That's going to be fascinating to see what happens there. And if, you know, they draft one, you always said it's a decent running back class. So we'll see if somebody new comes in or if they're in the market for a free agent potentially. But probably last year for Freeman there. Freeman will get a job somewhere else and he'll be probably useful in PPR leagues yet again. I don't see any way, shape, or form Doug Marrone should keep his job. I think that's just madness. I would be curious, do you think that Gardner Minshew is the kind of guy that if you brought in somebody's got a good track record working with quarterbacks like a Mike McCarthy could get something out of Minshew and go win there in Jacksonville? I say yes. What do you say?
I don't think so, but I wouldn't rule out him having the starting job next year, but I think Jacksonville situation may be one of they sort of show that they're trying at the beginning of the year. And if it goes south, just tank the rest of the year. I could see Jacksonville tanking for Lawrence. That I could see. So,
well, man, everyone's going to want that kid, boy. I mean,
that guy's above Burrow. So what will happen is, my guess is Jacksonville brings in a guy like a vet, you know, like a veteran type, like, you know, like Winston. That's the fair name that'll go around, like some other quarterback. They have a battle. You know, maybe even, I know it doesn't sound like a sexy name, but maybe even like a Keenum type where they have this, you know, spring fight or this, you know, summer fight to see who wins. They open up the season. If they start off okay, they fight a little. If not, they go just all the way down to the ground. And then
is Fitzpatrick going to come back with the Dolphins? I'm not sure what his contract is, but
he could.
I can only imagine it's a 1-year deal because it's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
It is 1 year.
But,
yeah,
but you know what? Get a loss in the shuffle. Is Ryan Fitzpatrick's been pretty good.
He had a good year. He did.
Really has.
He did.
Unreal.
All right. Giants and Redskins scored 76 points. Giants were up huge in this game and let Washington come all the way back. I got to give credit to Washington. They have fought their you know what off the last month. Daniel Jones, boy, you know, why did I start him, right? Or pick him up? That's what everyone's asking themselves. 352 and 5 touchdowns. Barkley had his best game of the year by far. 189 and a touchdown, 4 catches for 90 yards and a touchdown. Golden Tate closes out in a good way. 6 for 96 for him. Shepard came back and had a great game. 6 for 96. I doubt that. I probably have the stats wrong. But Shepard did have a touchdown. Caden Smith, their tight end, who's played for Ingram, has done a really good job. He scored twice. And Slayton got hurt early in the game, came back late, but wasn't a factor. Haskins did not play particularly well, kept them in the game for a while, got hurt. Keenum came in and rallied them, and Keenum probably earned a job for next year off that performance. Adrian Peterson, 36 yards and a touchdown. Terry McLaurin, again, with a good game, 7 for 86. And Steven Sims Jr., not really sure who he is, but he had 2 touchdowns, 6 catches, 64 yards. And it appears as though, from my perspective on Washington, is they have built a nice little wide receiving core with these no-name guys from the beginning of the season. And, you know, maybe
they're going to be okay.
Maybe they're on the right track. Maybe
I'll tell you what, they're set up as the 2 spot right now. Right. So if they take the defensive player with Young and they get some development out of Haskins, maybe in the offseason. And, you know, you're gonna have to. This is another team that desperately needs a running back. And if that's a Devontae Freeman, if it's somebody, whoever it might be, this is the secret there is they need a running back they can count on who is going to make an impact and be a focal point running back, not an ancillary piece running back, like a focal point running back. And there's some guys out there on the free agent wire and even some guys in the draft, you can do that. You got to turn the page on guys. You have to turn the page on Adrian Peterson. And I'm going to say this right now, all you Giant fans out there, I know it's been a rough couple of years, but you look at this division, I'm telling you next year, if the Giants can stay healthy and if the Giants can retool this defense and bring in some real guys who can cover and maybe hit on one guy in a draft, I'm telling you right now, I think the Giants can compete for that title next year in the NFC East. I really do. I think they could win that division.
The Jets beat the Steelers 16-10. Steelers gave away their playoff shot there, probably. Sam Darnold, 183 and a touchdown. Bell, who you had to probably start, gave you another 12, 13 points in fantasy, 72 yards and 4 catches. Robbie Anderson, 2 catches and had a touchdown. So he closes out the season good. If he can not get in any trouble in the offseason, maybe he'll be all right. But he's been arrested like a dozen times in the last year or so. Hodges played awful, 84 yards. They pulled him, 2 picks. Rudolph, okay, 129 and a touchdown. James Conner hurt again, 32 yards. Deontay Johnson, who was really the top option on the waiver wire on Sunday morning when you woke up. I saw him like available in like every league. I don't think anybody pulled the trigger on that. Juju had a lost season, 2 catches, 22 yards. Washington, 5 for 41. This is pretty simple. The Jets got a meaningless win, one that's only going to hurt them in the draft. But for Gase, he's looking for every win he can get. Maybe closes out the season shockingly at 7-9. And Joe, from Pittsburgh's perspective, this was a game that they obviously had to have, but the line was fishy with Pittsburgh only being 3-point favorites. And that kind of told the story to me here is that the Steelers just without any viable quarterback play have no shot. And I just even it wouldn't shock me to see them lose next week, too. Great defense, no offense. You can only get by on that for so long.
Yeah, and next year you hope that Big Ben is healthy and back, and that this is another team too I think would be well served to figure it out. Everything that I was worried about at running back with the Steelers going into this year with Connor, all my worst fears and all the worst scenarios all happened. Roethlisberger got hurt, Juju got hurt and struggled, and not only did Connor get exposed at times, but the injuries and injuries and injuries on top of injuries, in-game injuries, post-game injuries, pre-game injuries, just injuries everywhere. And this was a tough matchup anyway against the Jets, who are the second-ranked run defense anyway this year. So I did not love this matchup with Connor. I got a lot of questions about Connor this weekend, and they were all, do you have a better option? DeAndre Washington, take it. Do you have a better, who's it? This guy, take it. Because I just was fearful of two things, the injury and the matchup. And those are two negatives that were so huge. And then he factored in the quarterback play, and Hodges came out. He was taken out. Then Mason Rudolph came in, threw a touchdown. He got hurt. Hodges went back in. There was a funny guy in the stands. I don't know if you saw this clip on social. This guy was wearing a Hodges jersey, Pittsburgh Steelers guy, took it off, put on the Mason Rudolph jersey, and then put on the Rudolph mask as well. So he had this giant reindeer mask in the Rudolph jersey. Then Rudolph got hurt. He had to take the mask off and switch jerseys again. It was very funny. So he kept doing this thing.
Did they go back to Hodges? I didn't even notice that.
They had to, yeah.
Because,
Yeah, Mason Rudolph got hurt in this game with a shoulder, came down on the non-throwing shoulder. He was in pain. And Hodges had to come back into this game later on. So just, you know, it was a great job by Mike Tomlin, but Cinderella turned into a pumpkin here, I think. Yeah. I think this fits.
Hey, look, they still have a shot to get in. It's not over yet. Probably the worst takes that I saw all season long on fantasy football were the Mason Rudolph is going to be great takes. That to me was the only thing that really.
Where was that? Who was saying that?
Yeah, there were a lot of, oh, you got to play him.
Everybody that I know who's talked to, like you, Scott Bogman, John Law, any college football person that I respect, and I asked about Mason Rudolph, I got the same exact answer across the board on. So this is why it's important to follow college football people.
Just a little bit. It'll be the same thing with Jordan Love next year. Watch, guaranteed. You know, I'm telling you now, he's going to go to that combine. He's going, oh, Jordan Love's going to be amazing.
Mark it down, boys and girls. Mark it down.
Just remember that Jordan Love lost to Kent State in their bowl game. Last game play. Just remember that. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Coming up next, Eagles and Cowboys. We break it all down for you. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHOPE, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And I like football. And I'm going to keep doing them both because they make me feel good.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Joe here with you. Speaking of worst fears, this is the one that came alive for me as we were talking last week on Thursday. Boy, it seemed like Dallas was the right side, right? An easy win, just a small favorite. But whenever you think the Eagles are dead, they pop back in. My guess, Eagles lose this week. Cowboys win, they get in. I'm telling you, like, the Eagles are one of the strangest teams in the NFL. Just when you think that you could count them out, their defense puts up a performance for the ages. look, you could say it was the Cowboys offense. I tend to give some good credit to the Eagles defense. They made every play yesterday and they played well offensively too. Carson Wentz, 319 and a touchdown. Sanders over the, I mean, boy, where was this guy at the beginning of the year? I wish. 79 yards and a touchdown, five catches, 77 yards. Greg Ward is going to be my favorite player in the NFL probably after the end of the year. 4 for 71. Goddard, 9 for 91. Wow. Touchdown, because Ertz got hurt. He was in and out of the game. For Dallas, Prescott, a complete bust, 265 for him. Ugh. Elliott, 47 yards. Ugh. Cooper, 4 for 24. Terrible. And Gallup, 5 for 98. And boy, Dallas just, I mean, this was a big lesson to be learned from the weekend, where the closer the weekend got to being over, the more and more I thought to myself, my gosh, like this, how is this going to end badly for Dallas in some way? And boy, it really did. It's just so sad. They have such good offense, Joe. Like Prescott, people want to like indict him and they shouldn't pay him. Yes, they should. I mean, how many quarterbacks are better than Prescott in the NFL? 8, 10, 12, maybe? I mean, he's good, and so is Cooper, and I don't know what happened to Ezekiel Elliott this year, but all the things that went wrong for Dallas all season long went wrong in this game against Philadelphia. It was really a pathetic performance, and kudos to the Eagles. They came through when they needed to, and I'm going to be very careful with them in the playoffs, too, because you know what happens usually when they get in the playoffs, they surprise some people.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ezekiel Elliott getting hurt didn't help. Dak was not 100% going into this game. That didn't help, and then he had that run on the sideline area where he lowered his head and kind of took a shot there, and he took a shot on that same shoulder, which I don't know if you caught that, but it seemed like it definitely bothered him, like in different moments of the game on certain throws. Some weird play calling too. I hated there was a big conversion there they needed, and Prescott, they had this whole design rollout, which I always hate that on short yardage when you have the rollout because you cut off half the field. I just thought that was a really weird play call at the time, like, and not like hindsight 2020. As soon as I saw them rolling out, I was like, oh, why are they doing that? You know, why would you do that against the Eagles secondary? Because you're basically handing them half the field that they don't have to cover now. And everyone just, you know, compensated over. That was a very strange play call there. Another weird Jason Garrett, you know, fumble, if it will. But yeah, it's just the Eagles front played very well. This was it felt like an 80s game. You know, like you look up at the score. This is what it felt like to watch football in the 80s sometimes, like 17-9 and, you know, playing a lot of defense and going back and forth. And Cowboys just have a ton of talent that they just can't play. This is another situation where the right coach, the right situation, somebody comes in there and better play calling, better usage of the talent. The Cowboys should be a team that plays much better than this record. They are not a 500 talent team. Unfortunately, I think they've been a sub 500 coach team for a while now. And on the Eagles side of this, Miles Sanders, I know you say you haven't seen this coming, but since October 20th, this is a fun fact. So let's go to the 27th. That's the game against Buffalo, which was his first really big game of the year. Miles Sanders has averaged more than 100 all-purpose yards and five catches a game. So I understand the touchdowns haven't always been there, but man, in the last couple of weeks, they've been here to close it out in December. So if you want to talk about a stock trending upward, it's Miles Sanders. And if you want to go early and take Michael Thomas with the number two or number three overall pick in a draft, and you can come away with Miles Sanders and Josh Jacobs as your two running backs in the second and third round, I got to tell you, that's a heck of a way to start a fantasy PPR league.
In 6 months, Joe, we'll attack that. Broncos beat the Lions 27-17. Locke with 192 yards and a touchdown. Give you full transparency, I watched about 5 minutes of this game in total. This is one of the few games on the slate I did not. I was very disappointed after the 1 o'clock Eastern game, so I just focused on the betting ones. Lindsey, 108 and a touchdown. Deshaun Hamilton had a nice game finally, 6 for 65 and a touchdown. And unfortunately for Sutton, kind of laid an egg here if you had him in the championship, 5 for 41. That's not enough. David Blau, 117 and a touchdown. Kerryon Johnson came back. If you played him, that was a mistake, 42 yards. Galladay, 6 for 66 and a touchdown. This was the least exciting game to me, Joe, going into the day, honestly. A Blau playing for Detroit, just playing out the string. Denver getting these meaningless wins at the end of the season. Detroit actually led this game for a while until Denver imposed their running will, as they do. Boy, Denver's such a boring, blah team, to be honest with you. I hope next year that they spice things up a little bit. They'll end up with 6 or 7 wins, I'm going to guess. And then the Lions are going to have one of the top 5 picks in the NFL draft. Lions are doing things the right way, Joe, here. They're tanking toward the end, right? Like they got a good start. Now they're finishing strong so they can secure that pick, whether it's probably either an offensive lineman or maybe not a running back probably, but a defensive player. The Lions, I think this was the right thing to do once they lost Stafford, just to lose every game the rest of the year.
I agree. And you can pretty much mark that up in the same decline right at that moment. And on the Broncos side, I think Fangio had to win some games here to save his job. because I think he was kind of in danger there. So winning some games at the end of the year, yeah, might hurt them draft stock wise, but this is another team. They have Sutton. If you think Locke is going to be that guy you can win with, okay. Lindsey's a very good running back. The defense has played well. Noah Fant has looked very good in the second half. He's had some injury issues, but overall certainly looked better. This is a team that has some pieces. This is a team that can be very competitive in a division that I think is, look, the Chiefs are the class of that division, but I think the Chargers are going to be in a full rebuild. Oakland, we'll see how they continue to transition here. Oakland will be competitive, but the Broncos have a shot here to be competitive in the AFC West next year. I think they do because they have a home field advantage. It's one of the few out there.
In September, but then after that, it goes away. Teams are conditioned at that point. I don't know, man.
I've watched the Patriots go and lose a ton of games in Denver over the years.
Yeah, with Peyton Manning.
Not even Peyton Manning. Other years, they go in there and they get... I've seen a lot of teams go in there that we all think a lot of. In the second half, they get tired in the wintertime. I remember going back to those... The heyday of Champ Bailey. You saw a lot of those.
Yeah, because they had Terrell Davis, you know, like,
I mean that in betweens. I'm talking about like the era of the mid late 2000s era that before you got the Peyton Manning over there, before you had those quarterback change.
They had Brock Osweiler. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it was the Jay Cutler years. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, no, Cutler was good.
Jay Cutler was good enough.
I don't know. I don't buy the – I think the coaching is bad. I think that next year – I don't know.
I think Fangio's a coordinator.
They have to change their philosophy offensively. You're not going to win a lot of games doing what they do. You're going to be 6-10, 7-9 every year. I may fade them next year. I don't know. I'm not seeing it like you are, but, man, it could change. Raiders beat the Chargers 24-17. As we've talked about, the Raiders, all they needed was a win last week, and this win this week would have put them in the playoffs. 291 for Carr. Washington played very well, 85 and a touchdown. Hunter Renfrow, 7 balls for 101 and a touchdown. Tyrell Williams, 4 for 82, and unfortunately in your Super Bowl, Waller did not come through, 4 for 37 there. Phillip Rivers, 279 yards passing. Gordon did not get yards, but he did get volume. 2 touchdowns on the ground, 6 catches, 32 yards. Austin Eckler, another good PPR game, 5 for 58. Keenan Allen, 5 for 71. And Mike Williams, for some reason, only 3 catches for 51 yards. But that's been the story with him all season long. Rivers, after the game, just went ballistic, basically, on the fans. Not on the fans specifically, but on playing in L.A. Said it's nothing like it used to be, and it's just bad for the players. It's bad for everybody. You know, the response is pretty bad toward Rivers, honestly, saying if you played better, more people would come on your side. I guess so.
All right, well, there's another guy.
I got to tell you, I'm very optimistic on the Raiders moving forward. I really am.
I think
this is the team that I put ahead of Denver and say, okay, now this is a team with all these draft picks coming up. If they add a couple of studs, I could see them getting back into the playoff picture next year. And I like the coaching too, so it's a little different for me. With the Chargers, I agree. They should just tear it completely down. There's nothing to say here.
There's another guy that we haven't talked a lot about, but if Phillip Rivers has moved on from, they split ways. That's another guy. We mentioned Andy Dalton earlier, but Bruce Arians getting Phillip Rivers, who I think could still throw the football, and you give him Godwin, and you give him a wide open offense with Mike Evans and all this, and maybe just give him a little bit of a running game. I don't know, man. Like, I think you'd be better off that way. I know Rivers isn't perfect, but I think Rivers is burnt out. I think Rivers is done. He did not want to leave San Diego. He's not happy since they left San Diego.
He lives in San Diego.
I understand that.
That's crazy.
Well, I would live in San Diego too. Maybe I will someday. But I don't blame him. And I think the Chargers are another team. And here's another Denver scenario where they could be good. If the Chargers tear it all down and it's a whole big rebuild there, and you got some other, if it's Tyrod Taylor or somebody else playing quarterback, I don't know, man. I still give the defense travels, and the Denver Broncos can play a little defense.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. All right, coming up next, we got the Cardinals and Seahawks. The biggest upset of the day for sure. And looks like the Seahawks have a lot of work to do as they head toward the playoffs. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHope, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHope, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHope at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHope at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Want to be the next daily fantasy millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with the DailyRoto.com optimizer and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with the promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more. That's DailyRoto.com/dunk. DailyRoto.com is where millionaires are made. And welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Joe Pisapia here with you. Cardinals pull off the pretty big upset, maybe the biggest one of the day on Sunday. Cardinals beat Seattle 27-13. Kyler Murray was hurt in this one and is questionable for Week 17. His rookie season could be done. 118 yards and a touchdown. Kenyon Drake, who we illustrated at the top of our show, if you want to go back and listen on demand. Fantasy MVP in the playoffs, 166 and two touchdowns, added three receptions, was an absolute monster. Larry Fitzgerald, four catches, 48 yards and a touchdown. For Seattle, it's a little bit more complicated, as they were not only outworked yesterday, but they lost a lot of players. Dwayne Brown is going to be out for the year. Their great tackle, Russell Wilson, threw for 169 yards. Chris Carson had a hip injury. He got hurt. They brought in C.J. Procise. He got hurt. And Procise didn't do much. Carson, 8 for 40. Hollister, 5 for 64. Wilson is going to be running for his life, it feels like, over the next couple of weeks. There was a report, Joe, this morning that the Seahawks are going to talk to two running backs, one being C.J. Anderson, which makes sense, and the other is Marshawn Lynch. So that would certainly this is not a joke. So this is So this is certainly interesting to see. Both of those running backs to me are done, and they're just fun names to talk about. I cannot see that reunion going well on either side, given that Lynch hasn't played football in over a year, and C.J. Anderson was just basically cut. I don't want to downgrade, and I don't want to overreact too much to this, because the Cardinals played very well against Seattle in both games. And sometimes that happens. Teams just have your number. It feels like Arizona had
Seattle.
The Cardinals
played well against the 49ers, too.
Yeah. They made a lot of mistakes, but that's a team on the rise for next year. I'm probably, like I said, going to go over their win total for next year. I like the way that they're trending. Seattle has to go to San Francisco in the last game of the season. They certainly could win. Nothing would shock me. They still have Wilson.
No, this one's in Seattle. This one's in Seattle.
Oh, it's in Seattle? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they beat San Francisco in San Francisco, which is in that overtime. Remember, that was the...
Right. They could win, but they're going to be up against it in a big way, and their home field advantage is not nearly what it used to be.
Right.
So I feel like their season is on the line Sunday to a degree, because if they lose Sunday... I don't know. I mean, I hate to count out Wilson because he's so good, but man, these are some massive injuries. No running backs and no tackle. I don't know how they get through this. And, I guess the Cardinals will probably lay down next week. There's just no reason for them to play. But really interesting finish to this one, to see all those injuries for the Seahawks. I don't know what they do.
I think Anderson's the way. I mean, look, Anderson came in last year about the same time and helped the Rams go all the way to the Super Bowl, didn't he? So it's not like the guy can't do it. It's not like the guy can't pick things up. You know, the run scheme that they run with Chris Carson isn't a complicated one. So I think Anderson can certainly be that guy. Ajayi was signed a couple weeks ago. Otherwise, I'm sure he would have been in this mix too, and probably would have been the best fit for what Seattle likes to do. But yeah, they're definitely in trouble here. Seattle is definitely in trouble. They keep flip-flopping with San Francisco in that 1-5 seed back and forth now for a couple weeks. And everything you said is right. And I've been saying all year that home field advantage is not what she used to be. And the defense is the problem. I mean, the defense is very inconsistent. And we'll see what happens. We'll see if they gear up, and we'll see if Russell Wilson has one more big time moment in him. I think Pete Carroll's going to have to play a little fast and loose with this offense because of the injuries they've had, and take some chances and take some shots. And if anybody's up to that task, I think it's Russell Wilson. That being said, you give me a lot of crap the last couple of weeks because I've been bad, and I admittedly bad. But what was my upset special this week on the on the wagering
really,
show?
You're really going to go there after losing like seven in a row?
Not what, seven in a row. Three. Yeah. Three. No, not a lot more seven. Three. How, are you ever going to give me credit when I get one right, or I have to bring it up like
you
have jerk?
To, I didn't hear it. You have to bring it. You lost in week 11, week 12, week 13, week 14, week 15. So that's six.
Was I right this week? Yep.
Congratulations on being 1-7.
No, just once in a while would be nice to get like a, hey, dude, you've been crappy lately. Good job. Way to get one right for a change, you loser.
Finally.
Like, that would be nice. I didn't even tease me about it.
I didn't listen. I honestly didn't listen.
Well, maybe that's the thing. Maybe you should stop listening and I'd be right more often. Maybe so. It's too much pressure. I'm messing with you.
Week 10 was your last week. Win was your last winner. Pittsburgh was your last one. I got the list here. All right. Well,
put the Cardinals on the list because that was this week.
Your upset special plus +9. All right. There you go.
Yeah,
it was. Congratulations, Joe.
I'm joking. I'm making a joke. That's all. It's fun.
It's hysterical.
Don't take ourselves too seriously here.
Okay, let's close out here with the last two NFL games. First of all, last night, I don't need to spend too much time on this one. Chiefs and Bears. Chiefs dominated from start to finish. The defense was good. The Bears are terrible. Would you like to add anything? I don't even need to go into the stats here. It was just a horrible game. Chiefs dominated. They, smashed the Bears. What are you going to say at this point? I don't know what the Bears do. I know that if I was betting on a team to win the Super Bowl, clearly the Ravens are the favorite, but you have no money-making ability there. I would take the Chiefs just to throw a dart.
Yeah. Just a few small things, which is the Chiefs defense has played much better the last few weeks, just overall. And it was even before that New England game. They've been playing better if you go back and look at the game log, not just fantasy-wise, but real-life football. And the other thing is I just love watching Patrick Mahomes play quarterback. It's just so much fun. I know everybody's talking about Lamar Jackson. I'm still in love with Patrick Mahomes just as much. So everybody's all on to the hot new thing. I still like Mr. Mahomes. I think he's got an opportunity to get to that whole Breeze, Brady, Manning group of guys. That's how good I think he is.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Okay, so that closes the book on the Sunday games. Just real quick from the Saturday perspective, 49ers beat the Rams, Patriots beat the Bills, and the Texans edged the Buccaneers in what I would say, and there were a lot of college bowl games Saturday, so I was going back and forth, but I would say that Saturday was the best NFL day of the season. I think it was.
I agree.
All three games were good, all three games were competitive, and all three games came right down to the end. I thought Saturday's NFL was the best NFL day of the year.
It was terrific. It was really fun. Although that Texans-Bucks game was sloppy,
It was still
a fun game to watch, right? Like I said, it's absolutely playing Madden on beginner level where you can intercept every pass and all these kind of wacky things happen and the defense isn't quite as good. The Texans continue to be a very strange football team. I can't get a beat on them whatsoever. And it was just laughable to me because I was no sooner adding the Jameis Winston news about the possibility of them keeping him, doing the show sheets for Sunday morning show. And I see this news come across. I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about that. And I'll put that to the fantasy roundtable to the discussion with Davis and Jim. And then the kickoff starts and then he throws a pick. And I just thought to myself, man, like this is classic. It's so Jameis Winston. It's so incredible. Ronald Jones, surprisingly decent in that game too at times, catching the football.
Yeah.
So just when you keep writing him off, he's interesting. I really was impressed with Josh Allen. I mean, the Bills really did a good job of staying with those Patriots. He made some big throws there. He made a big throw to John Brown, some big throws to Cole Beasley, who's been terrific there. I thought that was a great offseason signing. I love what I saw out of Beasley in Dallas, and I thought he's the perfect guy for Josh Allen, and he really has been. He's been the steady guy. And I think overall, you look at that Bills team, is they're the ones that are going to take that mantle in the East when the Pats finally fold up the tents, and they're going to eventually. Now, we'll see what happens because we've seen them fold up the tents for like a year and then they go on another run of winning 11 straight. So who knows? But 17 of the last 19 years, the New England Patriots have won the AFC East, which is staggering. And then in the night game, look, I thought the Rams had that game. They should have won that game. The Rams continue to be the Rams, and the 49ers, I give them credit for winning, But I just don't look at that as an impressive win because the Rams were basically taking it to them. And the Rams are not a good football team. So, like I said, they're probably going to win by default now because of all the injuries for Seattle. But I don't know. I'll still take the Saints out of the NFC. How about you?
Yeah, I still got the 49ers. The Falcons beat the 49ers too. But yeah, the thing that I like about the 49ers is they win all these close games. Like if they would lose some of them, then I would not
Impressed. They lost a close game to the Ravens. They lost an overtime game to the Seahawks. I'm trying to think like...
But they're in every game. I like knowing my team is going down to the last 2 minutes with a chance to win. That's all I want. That's all I want in both gambling and reality.
Saints?
No, the Saints are good too. Saints are good too. Yeah, but again, they're another team that's going to go down to the end. By the way, it would have been unfair. And we'll probably can re-ask you this question next week. But what is your final prediction here on how far the Patriots go this year? I mean, if you want, we can wait till after next week. If you
we can talk about it tomorrow. I think that's more fun. I'll say this. Did you notice?
I think we're getting to the point where we kind of know where they're at here. Like, I think we do.
I thought it was interesting that they brought that linebacker Robertson to play fullback finally. And they started running the football with a fullback, which is something they did all of last year. But when Devlin got hurt, they got away from it. And all of a sudden, Sony Michel was good again, quote unquote, because that's what they have to do. They have to get back to that power-eyed running game. Go back to a little bit of smash mouth, play defense, run the football, because they just frankly don't have the pieces on offense. Now, next year, if they go back and surround, you know, part of the reason why Drew Brees has been so damn good is because they've done such a phenomenal job of putting talent around him. They gave him Michael Thomas in his later years. They've given him Alvin Kamara. Where are these pieces? They don't exist for Tom Brady. They just don't. Julian Edelman's a hell of a player, but he's got his limitations and they don't have these kind of guys. When's the last time you wanted to take somebody first overall in a fantasy league from the New England Patriots? Meanwhile, every year we're fighting over Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara and all these other pieces on the Saints every year. So, no, like, where's the dynamic playmaker?
Yeah, they may have to change the way they think a little bit. But again, they drafted N'Keal Harry in the first round, and he's been a non-factor. I mean, that's basically it.
Did you think he was going to be? I mean, he's played better down the stretch.
I thought he would be great for New England. Yep.
So look, let's not lose steam, you know, let's maybe next year.
No,
you know?
But other guys have played better than him that were drafted lower.
But it doesn't mean in year two, he can't figure it out and get better.
No. But
DJ Moore was a disappointment last year, too. And all of a sudden,
right now, you'd rather have McLaurin than N'Keal Harry. And without
that's fair. But you could have said the same thing last year. A lot of people wrote off DJ Moore and look at what he become this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the Patriots are really smart and they don't see it with Harry. But, you know, look, they could change next year for sure. But he was great in college. I thought that was a phenomenal pick. And for the first time in a while, a player they picked was a year one bust. No doubt about that. All right, coming up next, we'll dive into some of the NFL injuries, some news around baseball, Monday Night Preview as well. Look away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHOPE, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pisapia, and the injury list is long in the NFL. Fortunately for a lot of people, it doesn't matter because in fantasy, the season is more or less over unless you're playing Week 17 or DFS. So we'll dive into DFS later on in the week for sure, or maybe even tomorrow because I think we're going to have a different schedule this week. But let's talk about the NFL injuries. We got the Seattle losing both of their running backs, Chris Carson and CJ Procise. Carson finishes the season, Joe, with 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns rushing and finished with RB1 numbers. There was really, he wasn't the best in the NFL, but he certainly was startable every single week as an RB1, rock-solid guy. There was a point in the season where it was a little nervousness because he fumbled, but I would say that drafting him overall, wherever you did, was a success this year, right? I mean, it worked out.
From an ADP perspective, you got him as a low-end RB2. And I think he's basically graded out as a low-end RB1.
Yeah.
So you can't ask more for that. But I'll tell you this much. I think it will be a mistake next year to draft him as an RB1. So don't.
That's probably fair. Yeah.
I think that's the approach. So if you're talking about that, the guys I talked about, Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, those are all guys I would take ahead of Chris Carson. So don't get caught into the narrative of how good Russell Wilson is and the Seahawks are a very, more well-covered team. And yeah, it's funny, we don't talk about that ever, but to a certain extent, the teams that get a lot of publicity certainly get their fantasy assets inflated to a certain degree. It happens in baseball. It happens in football as well. So don't fall into that trap with Chris Carson. Draft him as an RB2. I think you'll still be happy with what you get out of him. If he's your RB1, I think you went wrong somewhere.
All right, Kyler Murray, his season probably over too. He is not the favorite for rookie of the year. It is Jacobs right now. It's interesting that both those guys probably going into the last week of the season are not going to play. But if this is the closing the book on Murray, I would say this typifies exactly what a rookie quarterback season should probably look like. And I would guess, Joe, that he'll be better. He'll make better decisions in his second year. It was a little bit uneven, but he was probably startable in about 60 to 70% of the fantasy games this year. So I would have to give the thumbs up for Murray on the year overall.
Yeah, I think that's a very good assessment there. I don't know how much I have to add, but yeah, I think.
All right.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay, Mark Ingram's hurt. The Ravens do not play this week. They do not play the following week. He has 3 weeks to get ready, so there's really not a lot of concern there. He wouldn't have played this week even if he was healthy. Haskins' season looks like it comes to an end, Joe, for him with the Washington Redskins, the quarterback there. He probably has a little bit more work to do than Murray. And they're going to have to surround him with a better offensive line. That's first and foremost. He does have some surprising weapons, as we mentioned. McLaurin and Sims, pretty good. You know, it's interesting that you said that they closed the book on Geis. I wonder if they will actually do that. I mean, you have to have a backup plan next year. I agree with you.
I don't think you have the backup. I think Geis is the backup plan next year. Maybe that's so. The difference in mindset. Geis came back, and for those two games, he was healthy. And even that first quarter of that Packer game, he looked great. He looked like exactly the guy that you go, this is why I was so excited about Darius Geis. Oh, my God. Now, granted, in dynasty leagues, when people are, dropping or just you can have him for free for somewhere, I would consider taking a flyer because you never know what happens, especially with a guy that he has talent. It's just a matter of health. But if you're the Redskins, you can't go down this road again. And I feel bad because can the Redskins have a season that doesn't end with their quarterback being carted off the field, whether it be RG3 or Alex Smith?
Oh, that's true.
Literally carted off the field every year. Well, you just look at it and go, well, there's the end of another quarterback era. it's just sad. Hopefully that won't be the case here. Yeah. But Geis can't be the number one. He has to be the backup at the next year.
Yeah. DJ Moore got hurt. No reason for him to play next week. Carolina is going to be in kind of a just get the season over with mode and try and get McCaffrey as many yards as he can to break every record. If, by the way, McCaffrey would be number one with a bullet for me in every fantasy league next. He already is, but even in DFS.
I told you last week, right? Remember, do you remember what his RPV for RB1 was? His relative position value plus 71. That means he's 71% better than the middle of the running back one. That means the top 12 guys. That's how much better he is. That's crazy.
Next week, I would put him in. In every lineup. I mean, they're going to try and just have him break every record. They're playing.
Well, where is he at now with everything record wise? Because I'm trying to think. Like,
I think he's at. Is he at 2000?
He's over 2000 all purpose already. Is he not?
I think he's third in history right now.
Okay, so is number one attainable? I'm not sure what that all purpose record is off the top of my head. I know what the all time rushing record is, but who's got the all time all purpose? Is that LT?
The first running back with two 100 catch seasons. We'll have to look that up and see if he can attain it. We'll touch on it tomorrow since we're running out of time. Yeah. All right, Monday Night Football, Vikings Packers tonight. You want to take any stab at this here? Any interest? Vikings minus 5.5.
I would take the Packers side of this one. I don't know. I just, with all these questions about the running game, with all these questions about Thielen's health, there's a lot of questions. And I think Minnesota is one of the few home field advantages that's out there. Defense has played much better, but where they struggle is the cornerback. And unfortunately, Xavier Rhodes has not been good. It's a really good matchup for Devontae Adams. So if Rodgers can get him the football consistently, this could be a huge game for him. I don't know if the Packers are going to win, but I think they're going to win in terms of the betting line of this game. How do you feel about this 5.5?
I hate the game. I don't like it at all because the Packers feel like the right side, which means it's the Vikings. But Cousins is 0-8 on Monday night. I mean, how can you make the Packers 5.5-point underdogs in a game? Well, the reason why is they're smart when they make the line because they want you to take Green Bay. I'm passing completely. Over-under passing, fair. Side total passing, focused on college football today, 2:30 Eastern game. UCF and Marshall, and we'll take Marshall plus the points in that one. All right, over to baseball. Let's get to the news from over the weekend. The biggest signing actually happened last night late as Hyunjin Ryu signs a 4-year, $80 million contract with the Toronto Blue Jays. Wow. Like, I thought the Blue Jays were headed right down the good path. You know, like, look, I don't care what Boston does. You're not as good as Boston. You are definitely not as good as Tampa Bay, and you are absolutely not as good as the Yankees. So you have an excuse. I understand that it's very hard, Joe, to tank in Toronto. Okay. It's like their team. They love their baseball. It's like San Francisco. It is like St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to show effort. Yeah. You have to show effort. But they had a good excuse, man. Like, you have three young offensive players, and you know, you have some pieces. You could trade Giles at the deadline this year, and you have Pearson coming to be your number two starter, and you signed Roark to start opening day. Yeah, he's going to eat some innings for you, and you're going to finish with 70 wins.
He ain't starting opening day now.
They could have finished with 70 wins. No one would have said boo. And then you go back into it in the offseason. Then next year is the year that you go for it. But these dudes paid $80 million for Ryu. You could have had Wheeler for like a little bit more.
Like, well, that's the problem. The problem.
I feel
is,
like, there's a major overreaction, like, to this market, and listen. I hope I'm wrong, and these baseball guys are a lot smarter than me. What I feel, Joe, is that there's got to be some pressure on their president, Mark Shapiro, and their general manager to do something. There had to be something coming from up above because this is not a normal deal after all the main guys have signed. And I should be happy because I love when baseball teams are actually spending money. But how is this deal going to look like in 2 years, Joe? Wow. Shocking.
It was shocking, the amount of years. I wouldn't, if you told me it was a 2-year deal.
Even it was for $40 million. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, even more. Even if it was a 2-year for, I don't know, crazy, like 25 a year, where you're like, why is it? You know what? You go, okay, it's 2 years. You're trying to make a gateway where you have a guy at the top of the rotation. And I get it. And Ryu was brilliant last year. And I am one of the few people that looks, you know, deeper into the stats and says, I think Ryu would be a pretty good American League pitcher because he keeps the ball down and he is not necessarily the guy that has to rely on striking you out in order to get out. He, you know, he pitches to contact. He keeps the ball down. He does a lot of things well. He doesn't walk anybody. And that's a huge plus. I thought this was the guy the Angels should have gone after, but clearly after the contract he got from the Blue Jays, I could see the Angels going, well, we're not getting involved in a 5-year deal or a 4 for even for 100. For Hyunjin Ryu, a guy who's missed a ton of time of his career. It was a very strange deal. I don't get it at all.
And you lose a draft pick if you're the Blue Jays.
You lose the draft pick, which is even more to the point. It's,
oh my
it,
God.
It is so bizarre. I guess the only question is, are we at a point now where the Blue Jays go, well, hell, maybe that's just the beginning. Maybe they're going to flip one of these prime prospects they have and bring in a Carlos Carrasco. Maybe they're going to flip one of these prospects and bring in another pitcher.
They don't have enough, man.
And go for it. I don't.
Well, they also signed. Let's go deeper here. They signed Travis Shaw for $4 million. Who, I love Travis Shaw. I hope he turns it around. He's such a nice guy, but he's going to have a chance to play every single day. It does feel like, Joe, that the Blue Jays want to be competitive. I think it's a mistake,
But Shaw's a good signing because it gives you some flexibility there. You can move Vlad to those DH days, let Shaw play a little third base, let him play a little first. And you saw Justin Smoke sign this weekend too. He signed with the Brewers, which is weird because we were just talking about Ryan Healy kind of filling that first third vibe. And now you bring in Smoke, which, I mean, I guess that makes Healy the everyday third baseman.
It looks like
Garcia goes to shortstop. I'm trying to like figure out what the Brewers are doing, but
you bring where's Braun going to play?
Well, I can only assume is Braun now a platoon player with Smoke?
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not really sure. Milwaukee, I feel like they just had to add a lot of pieces and then in spring training, they'll figure it out.
I guess they lost too much offense. I understand the Shaw signing for the Blue Jays. I think it makes sense because of the flexibility defensively. And if you get him back right offensively, terrific. But the flexibility, I think that's what this was all about. Can a guy cover what we lost with Smoke? Can he cover Vlad on off days where we wanted a DH and take a little bit off, you know, the body? Totally. That's a good signing by the Blue Jays. The Ryu one, I don't know, man. I'm just scratching my head.
Yeah, that was to me, that's the worst one so far of the offseason. Dallas Keuchel signs with the White Sox. Again, the White Sox have had a hard time getting guys. They've picked other teams. They have offered the money over the last couple of years. So the White Sox, Joe, go into next year with a pretty solid rotation. I'm going to guess, boy, I don't know. Who do you think starts opening day for the White Sox? They don't hand it to Keuchel, huh? No?
I don't think so. I think you make a statement. Giolito was dominant last year.
I know, but Keuchel, Cy Young Award, World Series champ. Well, maybe
Keuchel
so.
Keuchel wasn't 3 years ago, and nobody wanted to touch
him. He was good last year. He was good.
He wasn't great.
He wasn't terrible. So they have, let's assume you're right, Giolito, Keuchel,
well, here's
Ronaldo
a question.
Lopez.
Do they open at home or on the road?
I haven't looked at that. I don't know.
If they open on the road, then it's probably Keuchel.
Well, those three guys that they have are solid, right? 1, 2, 3. Really good start.
And
Gio Gonzalez is the four. Pretty good.
Gio Gonzalez is the four, and Dylan Cease is the one that I'm looking at. I know Ronaldo Lopez is in that rotation.
And then Kopech when he's
Kopech on the way. But Cease is the one to me that's most intriguing. Go look at the end of the year game log for Dylan Cease. Go look at some of those strikeout to walk ratios. Go look at a guy where it looked like things were starting to click and confidence was coming at the end of the year. Yeah, it's only September, but at the same time, you wanted to see some better control. You wanted to see some upswing, and you started to see that with him, and he is going to be free. So I don't think he can be what Giolito was last year.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you right now, in a lot of deep leagues, I'm going to have a lot of shares of Dylan Cease because he's free and because of the upside he has to be a middle of the rotation fantasy starter potentially. Right, you could see like a Flaherty-like season maybe. From him potentially.
That's a big jump. Yeah, all big right, jump. Coming up next, we will have the 2-minute warning here on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of Cal Hope, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Cal Hope, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit Cal Hope at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times, or call Cal Hope at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It is time for us to end the show on the Monday with the 2-minute warning.
The 2-minute warning.
2 minutes, get your sh** together.
Is that going to be enough time?
Well, here it is tonight for all the marbles for some of you, the Green Bay Packers and Minnesota Vikings. And what's really fascinating about this game is one player, it's one name, and one name that no one talked about at any point during the fantasy season. That, of course, is Mike Boone. The third string running back for the Minnesota Vikings has a chance, if you're down 5, 10, 15, maybe even 20 points, to win a fantasy league. But let me remind you of those of you and those people and everybody who's listening out there. It's what makes fantasy football great and what also makes fantasy football so lucky. You never know at the end of the year who's going to end up starting for you in the final week of the season. But that being said, roll with Boone. Good luck tonight. We'll see how it works out and check back with you on Championship Tuesday, which is tomorrow. All right, that'll do for the show. Thanks again to Sean Guastamacchia for producing. For my co-host, Joe Pisapia, I'm Craig Mish. Full-time fantasy is coming your way next. Joe and I will have a Christmas Eve edition of this show. It is tomorrow at noon, and we will talk to you then. Enjoy Monday Night Football, everybody. See ya.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHope at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHope at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save.